Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and you know how it is in a jazz club. The musician takes a solo, and the audience bursts into applause. Another musician takes another solo, more applause. Recently, though, jazz saxophonist Bill Kirchner thought he'd had enough of this, and in an experiment, he encouraged his fans not to automatically applaud each solo. In the classical concert hall, it's a different story. Aficionados often shush the newbies when they make the mistake of applauding between movements. All of this raises the question, has applause, or the opposite, silence, become too automatic, too rote? We're going to ask you to weigh in on this question, but joining us right now by phone is Drew McManus, an orchestra consultant who blogs at artsjournal.com and joins us frequently on Soundcheck. Drew, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, John. Good to be here.
And also with us is Doug Ramsey. He is the author of several books, including Take Five, The Public and Private Lives of Paul Desmond. He also blogs at artjournal.com. And Doug, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Now, Doug, you recently reviewed a Bill Charlap concert for Jazz Times magazine, and you wrote the following: listeners were frequently so engrossed that they abandoned the self-conscious rote clapping after each solo that jazz audiences have come to believe is an obligation. The audience's concentration on the music was a far greater expression of appreciation than little explosions of applause. Do you think applause has gotten out of hand in jazz and other forms of popular music?
Yes, I think audiences have come to believe that somehow there's a law that says you must applaud after every solo, no matter how inadequate the solo may have been. That's what seems to be happening. In addition, there's another layer on top of that, and that is the fans who think that after every solo you should whoop and shout. And in certain clubs, I must say, particularly in New York, but also I've noticed this in San Francisco and Los Angeles, that this has gotten out of hand to the point where often the following solo, the first few bars of it are obscured by this necessary applause.
Well, now, you would think that at some point musicians would sort of figure out how to deal with that, right? You know, just whoever's doing, the pianist is doing a little vamp behind the horns, and maybe he just does a few bars while the applause dies down. Does that not happen?
Well, that would mean perhaps in most cases abandoning the structure of the song and then picking it up later. If you were playing I Got Rhythm and you suddenly didn't have rhythm,
yeah, I guess that'd be a problem.
Yeah, right.
Now, your review has triggered a reaction both from Drew, who we'll get to in a moment, but also from sax player Bill Kirchner. What happened when he read your review?
Then I ran a little bit of the review on the blog, which is called Rifftides, as well, and then Bill wrote and said that he was going to do an experiment at his next concert, which was at the New School a couple of Mondays ago. And indeed, in the program notes, he requested that the audience not applaud after solos. He didn't make that announcement from the stage, but either the audience, he said later, did not read the program notes or didn't agree with the new policy.
So they were applauding anyway.
They routinely clapped after every solo.
Okay. Now, Drew McManus, in the classical world, we kind of have the opposite issue, right?
Absolutely. People tend to hold their applause after movements in between symphonies or performances, regardless of how exciting or enthralling that the performance actually was for that movement. They'll still sit there just like a quiet field of crickets and just not make a sound.
And is that because they feel like somehow by ignoring the fact that a particularly incandescent performance has just ended, that somehow by being silent they're being respectful and reverent?
Oh, good question. I think it's overall probably very artificially created. I think so many people going to concerts anymore don't have a lot of experience, or even more importantly, a lot of self-confidence in what they're listening to. They tend to follow whatever is around them.
Well, now, if this is a tradition, my understanding is it's certainly not an old one, because in Beethoven's day, people would routinely clap during movements, after movements. I mean, the encore in those days was a literal encore. Some people would applaud so much through a movement of a symphony that the orchestra would be obliged to literally play the thing again.
Sure. That was a much more interactive kind of experience, and performers were actually gauged on how well they played cadenzas. You didn't just have the same cadenza being churned out over and over and over again during concertos. And people would applaud after those cadenzas on based on how well they thought that particular player did.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really good research that was dug up by a colleague of both Doug and I at Arts Journal, Greg Sandow, another blogger there,
mm-hmm.
Who found a lot of really good statistics, even notes from concerts back only to the 1940s, where stage crew had to work the curtains or do the lighting or something, but had to wait to do X, Y, or Z until after the audience applauded between movements. And it was written in their instructions.
Wow.
So
as recently as World War II, audiences were still applauding at classical concerts.
Right, and that was
between
in Vienna,
movements.
Even, too. The heart of all classical music, so to speak.
Yeah.
Drew, I have a question for you. What
sure.
brought about the change?
Oh, that's a really good question. My personal observations tend to point to the fact that it really is an artificial creation. A lot of it had to do, especially in this country, with how classical music was marketed and how it was delivered to audiences between 1940 and 1960, especially. Movies started to create an image of what a classical music concert is. You had people like Stokowski and Toscanini who had the image of being this great individual, so however they did what they wanted to do, that's how it worked. And classical music audiences are really wonderful herd creatures. They just catch on to ideas quite quickly, and they tend to follow through with them. And now people just assume that that's the way things are run. And in some places, you even have orchestras writing in the programs to hold your applause between movements.
It just seems so unnatural. And Doug, the thing with, you know, the jazz musicians asking their audiences not to applaud after every solo, I have to say, to me, that strikes me as being somewhat unnatural too.
Well, I don't think that's a trend. Kirchner gave it a try.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't encountered that phenomenon very often.
Well, Doug, what you were sort of espousing in your article, I just want to make this clear, you're not saying that people should not applaud after a really good solo. You're just saying they shouldn't feel obligated to applaud after each and every solo.
That's right. It should be a reward for a particularly good performance.
Okay. Now, there are a number of recorded examples of great performances that got immediate, audible feedback, and one of them is this classic Duke Ellington performance at Newport in 1957. Johnny Hodges taking a sax solo here. All right, well, that's Duke Ellington at Newport. Doug, that's from 19...
The saxophonist was Paul Gonzalez.
That's Paul Gonzalez, not Johnny Hodges. Okay, what's striking here is he's not only got the audience going, he's got, it sounds like, other members of the band going as well.
Including Ellington.
Yeah.
You can hear Ellington saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that performance is so exciting. Gonzalez played 27 choruses of the blues on that piece, which was called... Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue. And no wonder the audience was excited. That was it deserved all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. It was a great performance.
And it doesn't seem to have fazed the band or destroyed the structure of the piece in any way.
Oh, of course not.
So, Drew, what would happen if, I don't know, take one of the hot young fiddlers of the, I mean, you know, Joshua Bell or Hilary Hahn reels off a particularly explosive solo or cadenza at the end of, you know, the Brahms violin concerto? You know, shouldn't we, who are there in that setting, be able to also erupt into spontaneous applause?
I think so. I think the performers would enjoy it more often than not, too. I think the whole argument about them being thrown off track is probably a little more weight on it than really should be. I would love to have the environment in classical music concerts filled with people who realize why a good solo was so good, and they want to express their appreciation of that right then at the time it was created. I think that'd be wonderful.
Well, let's see what our audience thinks. We're going to take some calls. We're talking about the whole concept, the whole idea of applause in the concert hall, in jazz clubs, rock venues. I mean, rock and jazz, Doug, are fairly close, I think. You know, an electric guitarist fronting a rock band reels off a particularly blistering solo, and usually he'll get immediate response, just like a jazz musician.
The difference is that he'll be getting a response from 50,000 people in a stadium, and in a jazz club, he'll be getting a response from 200.
Good point. Anyway, if you'd like to join the conversation, we're speaking with Doug Ramsey and Drew McManus. Both of them are bloggers at artsjournal.com, and our phone number is 212-264-7483. That's 212-264-7483. You don't need to be a musician to have been in, you know, part of the act of a concert. I mean, just by being in the audience, you are a part of that situation where live music is made. What is your feeling about your responsibility? I mean, should you have to applaud every time somebody does something on stage? Is it, you know, do you like the idea of just being able to kind of sit back and let the music wash over you, or do you like feeling really involved? Is it an interactive experience for you? We'll take some calls, 212-264-7483. And Drew, what is the feeling in the classical music industry, which at this point must just feel like it's beset with problems? What is their feeling about applause?
Well, it probably isn't high up on the priority list based on the problems you had mentioned. But it really should be, because the whole applause issue is going to be indicative of that level of educated audience. And if orchestras are going to really change their futures financially and artistically, they're going to need an audience who is a little better, not just educated, but they have more of a vested personal interest in what's going on, because they have a better understanding and they feel more comfortable. And in order for that to change, orchestras, managers especially, are going to have to start implementing programs that help patrons move to this direction.
Okay, let's take some calls. Carol is joining us from New Jersey. Hi, Carol.
Hello. I wanted to mention opera. It seems to me that people are allowed to applaud after exquisite solos in operas.
Good question.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And actually, that is almost like jazz, isn't it? Where, you know, the singer takes a particularly good solo and people erupt. Drew, is opera somehow different from the rest of the classical music world that way?
Yes, I do think it is, partially because it's so star-oriented as compared to symphonic orchestra concerts. You know, there's always a soloist, there's always a lead. In England, I know it's gotten to a point to where not just positive but negative feedback booing is starting to become contrived. They actually are hiring people to applaud or to boo
right,
at premieres of concerts, because it helps generate media attention.
Carol, let me ask you, have you applauded after an aria in the middle of an opera?
Oh, absolutely. And I grew up going to the opera with my parents, and that was how it was. And we always heard stories about in Italy when they would boo and they would throw fruit and rotten fruit and
That kind of response, that would make opera much more appealing as a spectator sport in my book, you know, to see what the audience reaction is going to be. Carol, thanks for getting us off to such a good start with our calls. And let's move on to Jeff on Long Island. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I was listening to the conversation about the herd instinct, and I was wondering if this is something you guys think is analogous to the new phenomenon that every Broadway show elicits a standing ovation.
Oh, I was going to get to that.
Oh, the standing ovations.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, guys. Jeff, obviously you've touched a nerve. Let's let Doug and Drew take the question. What do you guys think?
You know, last night I was given the honor of introducing a performance of Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn's Nutcracker Suite. And the band that played it very, very well. There were some good young soloists, all of which got the obligatory applause after every solo. And then at the end of the performance, there was a standing ovation. Well, sure, it was a good performance, but a standing ovation, it seems to me, should be something really special. But now they break out everywhere. At almost every classical concert I attend, almost every jazz performance, they get a standing ovation, which makes a standing ovation basically meaningless.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Drew?
I absolutely agree. In classical concerts, it's such a stereotype, just like the programmed encore. You know there's going to be one. It really takes the excitement out, and it's really disheartening. And if you don't stand up, that even elicits looks from your fellow patrons. And God help you if you want to boo.
All right. Let's take another call. Ginny in Queens. Hi. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me on the show. I have this discussion with a friend of mine a lot, and we both feel that it would really be good for the world of classical music for the audience to be more interactive, to the extent that we feel people should boo if they really feel strongly about a piece of music, because we feel that there's a lot of disconnect at this point between the audience and the music. And a lot of people I know who go to classical music concerts today go more because of the aura of it, so they can say they went
because it's good for you.
Yeah, and it's not really about connecting with the music.
No.
And so he feels that if people actually went to concerts and when they hated something, because I've heard a lot of music in concert halls that I really didn't like, but I feel like people want to say that they understand it, and so they'll clap and pretend like they really understand it when I don't think that they really do.
Hmm.
And we feel like because of this, there's become a big disconnect between the audience and the music.
What's your feeling, Ginny, about Rotten Fruit? Appropriate in the concert hall or no?
I wouldn't think so.
Okay. I just wanted to see how far you were willing to go with your thought here.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I don't want to vandalize.
Right.
But I mean, just to express feelings. Let me
throw this over to Doug and to Drew. Guys, it seems to me that after you've been in the business a while, a musician can tell when applause is dutiful and when it's genuine. Yes?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, I think absolutely. In fact, I've discussed this with musicians who have become a little cynical about it. They know when something extraordinary has happened and when it hasn't. And they're certainly aware of that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if we can get one more call in. By the way, lots of people calling in. Obviously, we're not going to get to all the calls. Email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org. This will make a pretty fascinating letters segment, I'm betting. But let's go to Rudy here in Manhattan. Hi, Rudy.
Oh, hi. How you doing, John?
Okay. So to applaud or not to applaud?
When it comes to jazz, I think we should definitely applaud every time we hear something which is great, just because I don't think a good musician will be not thrown off just because people are applauding for the guy who played before them, because, I mean, they know where they are even if they don't play. And somehow I just think that's exactly what's so different between classical and jazz, that the jazz have this kind of interaction with the audience. And if we say, please don't do that, or start to say, do this instead of that, I don't think that's really the way to go, especially to say, let's boo if you don't like it. I mean, in this country, can you imagine if you start to encouraging people to say that they can do whatever they want to do every moment?
Yeah,
something is not really to their liking. I think it's not really something which we would like.
It is a potentially dangerous situation, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I respect the tradition so much that I love classical concerts. And if it's the tradition, is that I am not clapping. Okay. Well, let's pick the tradition is like that. I can go to church. I can hear some great music there. I will not clap either.
All right. Well, Rudy, we'll have to leave it there. But thanks very much for the call. We've been speaking with both Doug Ramsey and Drew McManus. Doug is the author of several books, including Take Five, The Public and Private Lives of Paul Desmond. Drew McManus, an orchestral consultant and frequent guest on Soundcheck. Both of them blog at artsjournal.com. I can't believe I'm using blog as a verb here, but so you guys have got quite a little thing going on there right now with this whole question of applause, and it seems like, you know, the classical and jazz worlds maybe have things to learn from each other. Guys, thanks to both of you for joining us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll in just a moment have a visit from actress Judy Kay, who revisits some classic bad singing in the Broadway show Souvenir.